in your life. I'm sure we've probably all heard them, but it doesn't make them any less accurate today than they were when the day that they were penned so long ago. Chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death." There is a way which seems right, but it doesn't end where you want it to be or where you think it's going to be. Too many times in our life we think we know where we're going, we think we know what we want, only to get there and find out that's not exactly where I wanted to be. Maybe you haven't ever been there in your life. I don't know. I have. And I think I told you a story many, many years ago. We were teenagers, and my friend moved way off down the other side of Lawton, between Lawton and Altus. And we were down there one night, and I'd been there multiple times to his house. He was, again, just a teenager. His mom moved him down there, bought a bait house on Tom Steed Reservoir. And that's where he lived. And so he got his driver's license, I believe, at 14 or 15, by a hardship, and was able to drive to school and back. And so we would go down, and we would stay with him for a few days and go hunting or fishing or just hang out. And anyway, one night we took off and went to see someone else, and as we're going back, we'd been up. We didn't really sleep a whole lot. And so we're going back to his house, and he fell asleep. And so I'm driving on to the house. And I drive, 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 and I know it's been too long because it only took us about 20 minutes to get where we were going, and it's been an hour of me driving, and I have no earthly idea where I am. Till I finally woke him up, and he looked around, and he said, "How did we get way over here?" That was funnier now than it was back then, I promise you. And so I said, "Well, mostly because you're asleep. And you're not telling me how to get there." And I thought about that, and I thought about, and I was trying to think of the name of that movie, Anthony Hopkins, and he's this really rich guy, and they get stranded on this place way up in the north, and there's a bear chasing them. And this bear is a man-eater. It's going to kill them and eat them, and you know, it's that intense kind of thing. And if you've ever been out around bears, you know that you're not the top of the food chain when you're there around them, especially when you don't have a gun or anything else, and they're chasing you. And so he sits down and he says, "You know, I learned this one time, that you can make a compass out of just parts, things that you find in nature." And so they're listening to him, and he starts making this compass, and he makes it, and everyone's going, "Oh man, now we know the way." And so they start on this journey, and they're trying to get back to some place where they can find help, where they're wanting to go to this particular destination. And they keep hiking, and they keep hiking, and the bear's chasing them. And maybe it's already eaten one of them. I don't remember at this point. But before long, they come up over this little rise, and guess what? They're right back in the exact same spot that they started in. And they're looking at him going, "I thought you said..." He goes, "Huh. It said it would work. I was certain it was going to lead us where we wanted to go, but it didn't." And you think about life, so many times life is like that. We think we know where we're going. We think we have an idea or a plan of how to get from point A to point B. And we look at it and we've realized we really don't know. How did we get lost? How did we not get where we were wanting to go? And maybe the first response would be, "Well, you know, I thought I knew the way. I thought I knew how to get there, even though maybe I've never even gone from here to there by myself. And you know, my friend's house, I'd never driven there. I'd always ridden, never driven it. Especially on those back roads. I thought I knew how to get there, even though I'd never driven there." Now, that may be an easy response, but the real reason why we get lost is this. Well, listen closely. The reason we get lost is because there is a definite place. Wherever that place is, it doesn't change. That's the place. And I'm not there. It's pretty simple. I didn't get where I intended to go, and therefore I'm lost. It doesn't matter how many sets of directions I have. How many of you have been given sets of directions to get somewhere and you didn't get there? The whole point is you're lost because you're not there. It doesn't matter who told you how to get there. It didn't matter how you tried to get there. The whole point is you didn't get there. And if you're not there, you're lost. Now, this other place, you may think, well, this may be better anyway. No, it's not. That's the one place that we wanted, the very, very specific place I wanted to get to. And if I can't get there, I'm lost. There is a way. There is a way. There is a path that seems right. It seems like this is the direction I need to go, but the end thereof is the way of death. Or some other place than where I wanted to be, and I'm lost because I'm not where I wanted to be. Now that may sound silly, oversimplistic, but the reality is, anytime we start thinking we know the way, and it's all dependent upon us to get where we're wanting to go, and we have no clue, we're going to get lost. There is a way. Seems right to me, seems right to man, but the end thereof is not what I really wanted. Begins with this. How do we get there? How do we get on the right path to get where we're wanting to go? That's the question. And it all starts with attitudes. It all starts with our desires. It all just starts with the things that we want. And you know, there are some times that we just have wrong attitudes, right? Isn't that correct? Sometimes we just really don't understand. Now you think about Adam and Eve, and here they're in the garden, and we talk about Adam and Eve a lot, but they're in the beginning, they're with God, they have a perfect relationship, and they're looking at everything, and can you imagine living in such a perfect environment that they did? Have you ever daydreamed about that? What would it be like to have lived in the Garden of Eden during the time of Adam and Eve when everything was perfect? How wonderful would that be? No weeds to weed. No, the gardens were perfect. You didn't have to work in the hot sun. Everything, it was climate controlled in the garden. And the temperature was always a perfect like 65 degrees or 60 degrees. I don't know. But it was perfect. Whatever your perfect temperature was, God said it's perfect. And nothing ever changed. Everything's perfect. And Adam and Eve said, well, that's not exactly what I want. What I really want is the perfect life. What is the perfect life? How are you going to get any more perfect than what you have? And they said, well, Satan said that if I eat this fruit, I'll be like God. And so you see the fulfillment of life, this life that we're living, all I know is if I can be more like God, then I'll have a better life. I'll have a new place that I really want to go, and that's where I really want to be, is like God, and so I'm going to eat this fruit, even though God said that's not the path you want. Now Satan may tell you it's the path, but it's not the path, because the path is going to lead to what? What did God tell them? The day you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. Had they been warned? And they did it anyway. Modern man, we know our paths. We know where we want to go. We know that we are directing our own paths. And I can remember a billboard in the cities several years ago. I can't remember which college it was. And it said, what is the most important thing about a college? What is the most important thing about college? This ginormous highway sign. And you know what it said at the bottom? It's how you feel. I didn't know I went to college to embrace how I feel. See, my professors didn't tell me that. They said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to learn. I'm here to teach you. And you're going to do every assignment that I give you. And if you don't do those assignments, you're going to get an F. That's the way it is. But that doesn't make me feel very good. I don't care how you feel. None of my professors ever said, I really care how you feel. They said, what I want is, I want you to do your work. I want you to learn, and so that you will get out of this class and have an education that you can use. How you feel. I don't think that's the right attitude in our world. And those attitudes will lead us down the wrong path. The right attitude, is this the path really where I want to go? And if I'm wanting to go to a specific destination, what do? I get specific directions on how to get there. What am I trying to accomplish in my life? What do I want out of this life that I'm living? And so we start trying to grasp our life paths. The choices that we make, the choices that you've made in your life, where are they taking you? Where are you trying to get? Have you ever actually just stopped and asked yourself that? Where am I trying to get? Where do I want to be at the end of my life? Where do I want to be? In this world, in this life, physically and spiritually, do they connect? Do the things that we make, the decisions that we make, the paths that we're on in this life physically, are they leading us to the same place in our spiritual life where we want to be for all eternity? Are they together? Why don't we ask those questions of ourselves? Because too many times we think that this physical life is different than our spiritual life. And we'll get to the spiritual things one day, but the physical things are right here in front of us. And so we have to do what we can do. And we have to understand our life path has everything to do with our spiritual path back to God. Man believes or wants to believe in man. That's one of our great distractions, if you will. We want to believe in ourselves. And we'll make up things like, well, God was a man. God is a man. We made God up, and he is who he is because we've made him that. And people say that. And we hear those kinds of things and we think, well, maybe God wasn't great enough to actually tell me everything that I need to know. And maybe so, we might need to add a little bit to his word. Can we look back in history and see that? Over and over and over and over and over again, right? It's not any different today. We'll take God's word and we'll twist it, or we'll take things out of context, and we'll make application to something over here, and we'll say, well, his word says this. I just got reading an article, and I started researching it, and went back. There are books written claiming all kinds of godlessness is approved in Scripture. And they will take Scripture and twist it so greatly that it will make everyone feel good. I know that you think that there's only one destination in this life, but that's not really true. You see, there are multiple. This one back here is just as good as that one. And this one over here, it's even got a seat. You can sit on it and you can rest and you can take your ease over here. But you're going to be in the same place. It's just like the others. And so you can live your life any way that you want, and we can twist and we can turn and we can do this. And if we need to add a little bit or take away a little bit, we can do that as well. And so we can alter all of that. Those GPSs in our cars and all the roads that are changing and housing additions and all of those kinds of things that are on those, and you have to get them updated, right? Any of you have a GPS in your car? And you ever used it and it took you where you didn't want to go? Anyone ever done that? I've been on it and it says, turn left. And I'm going, turn left? Man, I'm out in the middle of the country. There is no road. There's not even a road going into someone's farm. It's barbed wire fence for 3 miles, and it's telling me to turn left. Where do you want me to go? I don't understand. And you see, in our life gets confused like that. And we start having input and on all of our computer in our head and people telling us, well, you need to turn here, you need to turn there. And we start listening. I slowed down that night trying to find where I'm supposed to turn. I'm like, there is no road here. What do I do? And then it's saying, what does it say to you? Go up so many hundreds of feet, make a U-turn, and come back. Now it says, turn right. It doesn't matter if I'm turning left or if I'm turning right. There's no road. And I can't get where I'm trying to get to by turning through barbed wire fence. It's not going to get me there. It's just not. Now, sometimes life is that easy to notice that that's the wrong path. But sometimes there is a road there. And sometimes we turn down that road and you start driving down that road. And I'm getting closer to my destination, closer to my destination, only to find when it says, your destination is 500 feet on your right. And you drive 500 feet and it says, you have arrived. And you're looking going, this isn't how I pictured it. This isn't exactly the way I thought things were going to look when I got where I wanted to go. We've done that. A few years ago, I remember Holly's following hers. Went two way, not anywhere close where she was supposed to be. It was a track meet, I believe. Wasn't it a track meet? It was a track meet. She was going, she ended up in the wrong town. And it says, you have arrived. Wasn't there. It was not there. Now, the town spelled right. Everything says this is where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not there. I'm not there. And so this world is going to constantly try to change things in the paths of our life and say, it's okay. This place is just as good as where you intended to go to begin with. And it's not. There's religious groups that say things like Jesus is a little God. And you and I can be just like him one day if we want to be. If we live a good life, we can be just like him. We can be a small deity as well. And we can live forever. And all you've got to do is live like this and follow these rules and get on this path with us and you can get there. And so we have all these things and everyone's saying we just need to accept and we need to, whatever pathway, all of those things in this world is okay. What happens is we fall in that temptation of Adam and Eve and say, man can be just as smart as God, and we can figure out our own paths in this life. Man was never intended to come up with a path back to God. God did that before he ever even created us. There's only one path back to God. God planned it. Jesus fulfilled it on the cross. The apostles, they laid it for us, and we travel on it. There is a perfect road right back to God, straight back to God. Think about some of the great philosophers or great leaders in our world history, and you think of people like Muhammad. How many hundreds of millions follow a religion he brought into existence? Confucius, how many hundreds and hundreds of millions of people read some of the things that he wrote and ideas that he came up with. And as a matter of fact, you can read a lot of them, and some of them are really good. And so we read it and go, wow, this sounds good. Or others like Buddha, and you think about all of those religious, if you will, leaders in a sense, and what did they say? Not once did they say, I'm the way. I have truth. They said, we need to search for truth. And I want to challenge you to search. And I want you to become. And I want you you all to think about life and the paths of life and where you're going. And we can get there together. There's a little difference between that and what Christ said, isn't it? What did Christ say? I, not anyone else. I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. There is one path. And we can rest assured that that only path that we have in this world is through Jesus Christ. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Eternal separation from our God. That's what the writer, that's what he is saying. When we follow our own paths, this is where it gets us. We're lost. We have no relationship with God. We have no hope in Him when we follow our own paths. Think about the town of Seminole. How many people live here? 7,500, I believe, is what an estimate of the last count, census taken in Seminole. 7,500 people, hundreds and hundreds of homes, many of which are lost. Because they're on a path that they think is okay. But God said it's not. That path that you're on is not going to lead where you think it's going to lead you. And so when we embrace someone, one of our neighbors or one of our friends, and say, let me help you understand something. And don't think for a second I'm telling you it's my path. Don't for a second think it's because I'm so great, but I want to share something with you. I want to share the most important thing that I've ever known in all of my life. And I want to give you, I want to help you go down this path that's going to get you back to this relationship with your Creator, with our God and our Father. And His name is Jesus Christ. And I want to help you down this path. You see, we have the right path to lead people home. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Now, people are going to twist and turn it a little bit. And so we immediately go what? Right back to God and say, no, wait a minute. Thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. A what? How many of y'all like walking in the dark? How many of you have stubbed your toe, fallen on your face, skint an elbow, bloodied your nose, knocked out a tooth, clotheslined yourself and broke your shoulder or your wrist or your elbow? I'm just telling you experiences I've had in my life with teenagers for 25 years. I can't tell you how many times I went to emergency room because people were running or playing in the dark after I told them, don't do it. Barbed wire wrapped around one of their neck. And the boy right here, Seminole, cut his face, down his throat, down his neck. We spent a few hours in the emergency room while they were sewing him all back up. Why? Because he was running at nighttime, chasing someone else, or someone was chasing him, and he ran right into it. A path he didn't want to be on. Matter of fact, a path I told him, don't get on that. Don't go down there in that creek bottom and mess around like that. Don't do it. And they came up and said, you better come look. What happened? I don't know, but he's bleeding pretty bad. It's not a good sign. What happens when we're going on a path that's not lighted and we don't know where we're going? Rarely does it turn out good. Thank God that we have a path. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll close with this. He's talking to church, and he's talking to the people there, and he says, sanctify Christ. Listen, sanctify Christ, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you of the hope, to give an account of the hope that's in you. What did he say? Set apart Christ. Understand this path, this life that you've chosen.
understand what this path is all about. Understand that this path alone is going to lead you to where you want to be. This isn't the way that seems right to man. It's the path, it's the way that God has given us, and it's perfect. Sanctify, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, and be ready. Be ready to make a defense to everyone who questions the path that you're on. Let me help you understand what it means to get back to God. Why did God choose His Son, Jesus Christ, to lead us back? Perfect sacrifice. Gave everything. And we know that it was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on that cross that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The moment we come in contact with that blood, when we're immersed into Jesus Christ, His blood given on that cross gets us on that path back to God. And He will never give us any distractions. He will help us in every decision that we make. Every decision that we make, if we love God and we love His Word, He will guide us and He will lead us. He will help us in everything that we do, every decision that we make. Do you believe that? Every time I struggle with Him, I make bad choices. And I don't end up where I want to be. I end up fighting or arguing, bickering, whatever. That's me. But when God says, no, you got to be on this path. You got to let Jesus rule in your life as you live this life on your way to heaven. Is your physical life enmeshed in your spiritual life? There's the path. Only when we give ourselves to Christ, only when we put that old person to death and allow Him to live in us and follow Him, will we be on the right path. But, and this is what should put a smile on your face, we know that path that leads home. He's not hiding it. It's well lit. There's no stubbing our toes. It's only when we get off the path that we start stubbing our toes. Are you on the path that leads you back to your eternal Father? If not, why not? What are you struggling with? Why do you want to struggle? It's a question. Have you truly given your life to Him? If you're not on that path, and there's no better day than today to say, I am getting back on that path, or I'm going to get on that path, maybe for the first time in your life. It's time. We would love to help you with that. And we all struggle. Don't get me wrong. Don't think that there's anyone perfect here, right? You can look around right now this morning, and there is no one perfect in this building. Now, we're accounted as righteous and holy because of Jesus Christ. And that way we can struggle together, but we help each other. And if I'm stumbling or if I'm doing something, someone else is going to reach over and grab my hand. Mary Ellen may just grab a hold of me and yank me right back on the path with her. That's what we do. But it's all because we know the path because God has given it to us. If you're not on that path, what will it take for you to get there? Your choice. Your choice. What choice will you make? When you walk out this door, will you be on the right path? The one that Christ paved for us back to God? Or that one you've been struggling with? That choice is yours. So if you need to respond to Him and give your life to Him and get back on that path, you can do it right now. And there's no reason to put it off any longer. So if you need to do that, won't you come right now while we stand and we sing? Is us waiting. Waiting.